Good evening. Good to see everybody. I almost hate to interrupt a good fellowship. It's good to laugh and smile and fellowship in the house of the Lord. We have a good time together. It's what it's about. If we're not having a good time, we ought to be somewhere else, because we're here to worship our risen Lord and Savior. He's all about joy, and there'll be joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. No, I don't. It's not that I don't trust you guys. I turn that off when I'm singing, just as a double check, because I don't want to run people off. I do enough of that with my sermon, so we'll take a look. If you would, open your Bibles tonight as we look at making godly decisions, or making a decision for God, if you would, in the book of Joshua in chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. There was a farmer that hired a man to work for him. He told him that his first task was going to be to paint the barn. He said it should take you about 3 days to complete the task, but the hired man was finished in 1 day. The farmer then set him out to cutting wood, telling him it would require about 4 days for him to get the task done. The hired man was finished in a day and a half. To the farmer's amazement, he was just amazed that this man would work so fast. The next task that he gave the man was to sort out a large pile of potatoes. They were good enough to sell. The farmer said that it was just a small job. It shouldn't take him very long to knock this out, based on what he'd done before. And at the end of the day, the farmer came back. He was to take those potatoes and make them in three piles. He was to take one and make seed potatoes, one food for the hogs, and the other was potatoes that he could take to the market and sell. When the farmer came back a little later that day, he was found out that the man had just barely started. He walked over confused and said, "What's the matter? You were working so hard before. What happened now?" He says, "I can work hard, but I can't make any decisions." I resemble that remark quite a bit sometimes. Well, we're going to look tonight at decisions and how we make decisions. And one big decision that we'll be challenged with to leave here, one of the most important decisions you ever make. And you will need to make that before we leave, or we won't let you leave. Amen? According to recent research, and I shared that this morning, adults make about 35,000 decisions a day. I was amazed at that number, and I checked it in four or five different places. 35,000 decisions a day. Now, some of the decisions are as trivial as deciding between Fruit Loops or Cheerios for breakfast, but they can also be as impactful as deciding about a business merger or what you're going to do with the rest of your life. So 35,000 is a whole lot to keep up with. So how can we ensure that we make the right decisions? As we look at our text today, we're going to see Joshua make a decision and make the right decision, and then challenge that he makes to the people he's speaking to, that we see how it impacts our life today, how it would travel through all those years through Scripture and impact us and hit us right between the eyes tonight as we sit here at Liberty Baptist Church. So if you would, let's stand for the author and honor the author of the Word of God and stand for the reading of the Word of God. As we begin reading in Joshua 24 and verse 13. It says, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities for which you did not build, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and of the olive yards which you have planted, you planted not, you do eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which were your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and you serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As you're being seated, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just approach you with humbleness and awe of who you are. Lord, as we've sung about, as we've already spoken of you in this day, you are truly an awesome God. And Lord, now as we look at your word and look to you, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open and teachable. Lord, that it would change our life so that our decisions, no matter how trivial, would honor you. no matter how big, they would honor you. Lord, we want to be more like you. And Lord, we know we can only do that through obedience to your word. We pray now that it would be real in our lives, not just principles we agree with, that it would become real to us. We pray that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and we'd be changed. We love you and praise you for what you're about to do, and we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us can say that we always make good decisions? Well, there's a husband and wife that prior to getting married decided that they'd make a deal with each other. They decided that he would make all the major decisions and she would make all the minor decisions. After 20 years of marriage, they went back to the man and asked him, said, how has this arrangement worked out for you? Where you make only the major ones, she makes the minor ones. He says, great, in all these years, I've never made a major decision. Joshua in our scripture was able to make a decision. And we see and understand and we think of Joshua as some superhero, some super Christian, but he was just a man. Just a normal human just like us that trusted God and followed God. And I want us to remove the halos because so many artists have painted pictures of people in the Bible and they put halos on them and made these super strong, almost superhero type characters. These were men just like us, men and women just like us, that are faced with decisions that honor God. And tonight as we read the scripture, we're going to be faced with making a decision to honor God. If we look at Joshua, he had not an easy time. He preceded Moses and he faced so many decisions, none more important than the one we just read about. And what do we see here in this decision and this challenge that would impact our lives? First of all, we take a look at this. I'm going to take this off because we got a lot of people coming in tonight, and I forgot about that. First of all, we see that about his decision, it was openly decided. Look back at our text in verse 15. In that challenge, he says, and if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He see, the message was delivered, and he made a decision. Soon as the message was given, the message from God was given, this is what he's doing, being challenged to get rid of the idols and to choose. He said, but as for me and my house, I've already made a decision. He made it openly. You see, when we open the Word of God, each one of us are challenged, and we do make a decision. This morning when we heard a sermon, last Sunday morning when we heard a sermon, last Wednesday night, anytime you hear a sermon, read the Word of God, you are faced to make a decision. And you make one. You either say, yes, Lord, or no, Lord. Yes, Lord, I agree with this. I'm going to apply it to my life. Or no, Lord, I don't think that was good enough for it to change me in any way. The problem with our church today is that when we don't make decisions, we make these decisions openly, they're not real. We will say, yeah, I agree, but they never make that change in our lives. We say, yes, on the outside, but truly on the inside, we say, God, that's just not good enough for me to apply to my life. Charles Spurgeon said of Joshua, he says that the right decision for God is deep, calm, clear, fixed, and well-grounded, and solemnly made. And that would describe who Joshua was, as you read about his entire life. And we won't do a whole survey on who he was, but we know from reading the scriptures that he was solid and calm and fixed and grounded. He didn't speak lightly either. He speaks with resolve, with a soul that's anchored in Christ. Very quickly, as the message is portrayed in front of him, as it's presented in front of him, and he's challenged with it himself, because I can tell you that any preacher, anybody that brings the Word of God is not coming to you, if they're doing it right, in a way that they have already arrived. I promise you that the person standing behind this pulpit is being challenged just as you are, and they've already had to make a decision. And hopefully the man of God, and I've seen Stan do it time and time again, he's already made a decision. He's presenting it to the congregation for us to make a decision. And time after time after time, we leave with never saying yes to what God wants us to do. Joshua's decision was not hesitant at all because his walk was close to God. He knew what God wanted and he didn't hesitate because he walked close to God. Unlike most of us today, when we're challenged to make decisions today, we feel so far away from God and so insecure that we hesitate and even procrastinate about making a decision. We think about all the other things that can happen, but what God wants. We think about what people think, what's going to happen to me. We think about all the repercussions rather than what God wants. We say things like, I'll pray about it. That's a good Christian card to play. I'll do the pray about it card. Or my card, I'll talk to my wife about it. And all the men smiled, the women elbowed them right there. Yeah, you better do that. And we should do that, but we should have a walk that's so close to God that we know His will, and we don't always have the liberty, and shouldn't take the liberty, to walk away from something when we need to make a decision now. Joshua said, make the decision this day who you will serve. Don't go home and pray about it. He's saying right now, the line's drawn, and you need to make a decision what to do. You see, each time we come together like this and we open the Word of God, it's right now for you to make a decision. And the unfortunate part about it is, and from all that I study and all that I read, about 5 minutes into it, everybody's just about already made their decision. And unfortunately, about 75% check out at that point. We say things when we're presenting, we say we'll pray about it. You know, we've used that card a lot, and I've used it before. And if you just want to make the rubber meet the road and you want to be real, do you really pray about it? Is it just something you put it off so you don't have to deal with it right then? I'm afraid if we were honest, that a lot of times when we say we're presented to make a choice, make a decision, when we say we'll pray about it, that means I just want you to go away and leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. Nobody will ever in this church say, I'll pray about it again. I'm not wanting us to stop praying. We need to pray. I'm just saying that is not what we just throw out there just because we don't want to deal with something. It needs to be used properly, not as a card to say, I want you to get away, or I don't want to deal with this right now. I'm dealing with too much. I don't want to deal with this right now. And we all walk around like that, but if we walk in the Lord with our walk so close to God, we'll walk like Joshua did. We should walk knowing His will. A believer's walk is commanded to be worthy of what God's called us to do. Did you know that? A believer's walk should be and is commanded by God to be worthy of what God's called us to do. A walk so close that we don't hesitate. Ephesians 4:1, and I won't make you turn there. I'll read it for you. It says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. We're told to walk worthy, to walk in a place so close to God that we're able to know what God wants and what His plan is, and we don't say, I got to pray about it, just to get away from it. That we make that decision, we don't hesitate and walk away from that opportunity. Colossians 1:10, our current study that we're in on Wednesday nights, says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That knowledge of God is knowing His will, so that when we make a decision, it's based on His will and not our own. If you want to make the right decision, be close to God, know His will, and grow in your knowledge of Him in such a way that you make a decision that honors Him because you know how He is. You know, if you've been around somebody, if you work with them all the time, you know how they are. You know, if I do this or I say this, it's going to cause this problem, so I'm going to avoid that because you know how they are. We know with our spouses, we know each other, we learn each other and how to work together and how to come together because we spend time together and we're learning about each other. When we spend time in the Word of God, we get to know God. You know what this does, this does? This is not the holy medicine book, the holy fix-it book. This is the holy Bible where God is revealed to us. And when we read it and we put it inside of us, we have knowledge of Him. And when we have knowledge of Him, we know His will and who He is and how He is. Therefore, we will make decisions based on that. Not on who we think, not who the world tells us, not even who the preacher says it is, but what the Word of God says. Many of us walk so far from the will of God that, and our decisions reflect that. And many decide to leave churches over trivial ideas, trivial things, Many decide to sow discord among brethren. That's the big popular thing in most churches today. And I was talking to some friends of mine in another church, and that seems to be the big thing where they've just had to quit doing any kind of vestibule meetings or anything, people out there from standing, because there's just so much discord being sown, and there's a lot of churches in that shape. We decide that we won't support the church with our money. We decide we won't support the church with our time. There's so many decisions that we make daily that reflect what we think of God, reflect where we are with God. Now, picking Cheerios out or Fruit Loops, probably not going to be a big one, okay? But whether to be at church with God's people, whether to open the Word of God and spend time alone with Him in personal time, those are biggies. Those are biggies. What we do with the rest of our life, are we going to follow God? Or are we going to just fade into the background? Are we going to stand for the Word of God? Or are we going to let it fade away? And you see, our decisions are based on our walk and our knowledge of God. And this may be an eye-opener for some of us. But in Ephesians 4, we read, "Therefore, praise the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." We need to realize that there's not one of us that's a believer that's been called to apathy or complaining or absence or any of that stuff. We've been called to honor Him. We've been called to take every thought captive into the obedience of the Word of God. Not just what we do on the outside, but what goes on the inside is being called to obedience to God as believers. That's what His requirements are, folks. It's not just something that you do and put up this facade, and we all put the facade up, and we all want you to see our best. I've got a suit on, and I got comments, and yours wasn't the only one. I got about four or five comments, where the khakis are. And I didn't realize that people noticed I wore khakis all the time. I got 700 pair of khakis, I think, a bunch of khakis. But it's an image I've got out there now with the khakis. I didn't know that till today. But that's what people think of you. And what we put out there is what people think of us. What they see. And we only let you see so much. God knows it all. And we need to be the same on this side of that wall as we are on that side. We need to be just as obedient on the inside as we portray ourselves on the outside. You know what that's called? Being real. You know what the other's called? Being a hypocrite. They tell you what, you say, well, I don't know what I've been called to do. You've been called to take your thoughts obedient. You've been called to worship our risen Lord and Savior. We've been called to serve Him with our spiritual gifts that were given to us by the Holy Spirit. And without hesitation, we should decide to serve God. Amen? We serve by attending. We serve by giving time and money. We serve by using those spiritual gifts. And we use the example of Joshua, and we see that he openly decided. The next thing we see in our text, that Joshua's decision was openly declared. Who was he speaking to here? We jump in this chapter at the very end of it just to see what his message was. Who was he speaking to? Look back at the very first of the chapter. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Joshua 24. In verse 1, the first section there says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for the officers. They presented themselves before God." Verse 2. "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel." So he was speaking to everyone openly when he made this challenge and this declaration. He was speaking for God. It says, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the man of God speaking for God. And then he spoke to all of them. He says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he challenged the people to do the same thing. Openly. Openly. It's easy to do in the church. But imagine doing that in public. To be open about your Christian walk. Joshua didn't worry about what people would say. He was not afraid of what people would think. He just openly declared. Much like what we read in Romans when Paul wrote it. In Romans 1 verse 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He says he's not afraid. And in that, we see the unwritten challenge for us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we ask ourselves, and I ask you right now, and I ask myself in this question, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Yes or no? Answer, no, you're not. Then how many times do we present it to people? Why do we not share the gospel more? Why do we not share with everyone we see? Everyone we get a chance to. Why? We're either afraid or ashamed. It has to be. See, Joshua wasn't afraid, and he wasn't ashamed. Paul wasn't afraid, and he wasn't ashamed. What is it we're afraid of? Or what is it we're ashamed of? God forgive us. Because it's just openly, these people are going to hell wide open. And I know I've used this illustration so many times because it's so real to me, but if I was running toward those back doors and you knew that when I opened those doors, I was going to run into flames and going to just disintegrate and burn up, every one of you, I hope, would stop, try to stop me from going through the doors. I'll put it this way. If it's a small child running toward those doors, you do everything you could to stop that kid from going through the doors. Why? Because he's running into flames. Do you realize that lost people are running toward the flames? God puts us in people's lives to witness, to share the gospel, the good news, that they don't have to go to the flames, and to get them to repent and turn away. And each opportunity we squander, I believe God will reveal to us, and that'll be on our hands. God forgive us. We're told to share the gospel. We're told to not be ashamed and to not be afraid. God give us boldness. It's time in our country, it's time in our church for people to openly declare their faith and take back their God-given freedoms that have been taken away from us. You can sit down during the national anthem and nobody will say anything to you. They'll even lift you up and put you on the TV news. But if you stop and pray, you're going to get persecuted and maybe even dismissed. And nobody says nothing? Am I the only one that sees a problem with that? They're not persecuting the church. We're challenged not to speak Jesus in our public conversations, even in our prayers. We're not even supposed to say in Jesus' name. While the most vile and offensive, ungodly things spew out of the mouths of others without any challenge from us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It made a difference in me. We should stand and believe that and act like we believe it and bring our actions into obedience to God and openly declare it and openly decide to follow God. Looking at our next point, Joshua openly lived it out day to day. He openly lived his faith out day to day. In Joshua's case, we see that he was a soldier. And if anybody would have asked him, "Whose soldier are you, Joshua?" you know what his answer would have said? I felt like one this morning we were singing the marching songs. I love those, Mark. Where you at? You're sitting over here, mess me up. You being over here. The marching song, I love them. We're marching to Zion. We're the marching songs. He would have said, "I am a soldier for God." Then would ask him, say, "What are you fighting for? Who are you fighting for, Joshua?" You know what he said? "I'm fighting for God, Jehovah, Yahweh." And if you'd asked him what his object or what his reason for fighting was, you know what he said? "To glorify God." And that's what we're here for. Is we're in a world, we've had it so easy for so long in our country that it just seems so easy. We've all sit back in our easy chair, and now it's getting a little hard, and we don't know what to do about it. Those people don't like us. How dare they do that? And we've cowered down in our churches, and we keep God inside here, and we refuse to take it to the people that are running toward the flames. See, he openly lived it out day to day. It's not just a way that you live, and it is a lot to do with the way that you live, but it's what you say while you're living. It's what you stand for while you're living it out. Joshua began early in his life the service of God, and he never backed up. He never repented of it. Spurgeon said this about him. He says, "Blessed are they who have this abiding thoroughness in the case of the Lord their God." 2 Timothy 4:7 makes a similar statement when it says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." That's a New Testament challenge from Paul, that we would finish the race, that we'd fight the good fight, and we would keep the faith. Paul said, "I've lived it out day to day, and I'll live it out to the end." And bless God, that ought to be our decision too. We need to choose this day who will serve. We see that challenge to the Israelites, and we can see that it is openly demanded. Look at verse 15. This is, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods of your fathers that they served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was openly demanded. Let me read something to you. Read a couple of statements, a few statements to you. And I just want to see if you agree with me. Did a little bit this morning. I'll go a little farther tonight. "You shall not have other gods before me, declares the Lord." Would you agree with that? Amen. "You shall not make idols." I'm going to shorten them up that way, saith the Lord. Amen. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Amen. "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." Amen. "Honor your father and your mother." Amen. "You shall not murder." Amen. "You shall not commit adultery." Amen. "You shall not steal." Amen. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Amen. "You shall not covet." Amen. And then the commandment we find in Joshua is just as serious. "Choose this day whom you will serve." Do we lighten it up? Just as we challenged this morning. As I began to read the Word of God afresh, and God started a personal revival in my own heart over these last few weeks, and understanding that we're challenged with more than just the Ten Commandments to get our lives straightened out, to live according to what He said in His Word. Not for salvation, but because of salvation, we are to live a holy life and obey the commandments that are contained within that Word. So I ask, who do you serve? Every decision that you make reflects who you serve. For example, if you try to serve God and money, you will end up every time serving money. Look what Scripture says. Matthew 6 and verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Mammon, it says in the New King James. That's just another word for money. We can't have two masters. We say that we love God, but does money make us compromise? He's talking about money. Uh-oh. Do you know that there's no compromise with God? There's no compromise with God. Amen? Christian business owners, as well as regular business owners, ungodly, do illegal things because of the love of money. There's a reason why America's TVs fill full of pornography, gambling, jealousy, and evil, and all its magazines, all the media, and all the stuff. Do you know why that is? Because that is about serving the devil and serving the money system, and it's idols to people. We should have no part of idols. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Okay? And I know that this sounds stupid and because you've heard it over and over again, but it's the truth. If you spend more time on TV than you do with God, TV is an idol. If you spend more time with video games, more time on video games than you do with God, it's an idol. If you spend more time with whatever, it becomes an idol in our lives. We begin to serve something. There's so many armed robberies, so many drug dealings, so many things all about money. Many pastors today are watering down the gospel in their churches, afraid to offend people, afraid that they won't show up, and then if they don't show up, I won't get paid. It's money. It's not just money that becomes an idol, but it is a huge one in a lot of people's lives. And we ask ourselves, do you have an idol in your life? That's his challenge. Are you going to serve the idols of your fathers? Or are you going to serve God? And now every one of us in here, we would all say we're going to serve God. And we think of idols, either like me, I go to Gilligan's Island and the little things were on there. I don't know why I do that, but every time I say that word, that's where my mind goes. It's a strange place. They had a little idol that was on the island. It caused all these problems. And the idols are not real. But we're challenged, are you going to serve idols or serve God? And it doesn't mean that you don't have to bow down and pray to him for it to be an idol, folks. You don't have to be in a worship service and read scripture about this strange thing that you're worshiping for it to be an idol. It is what you serve with your heart and your time, what you pour your life into. So I ask you, as Joshua asked, are you going to serve your idols or are you going to serve God? You have any idols in your life? At first time that question's asked, like me, you probably said, no, I don't have any idols. Could be sports, football, could be a hobby. Do you have any idols in your life? Isaiah 42:8. Probably ought to turn there. That's the Old Testament off. We're there tonight. Let's go to Isaiah 42. Our God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory. And I say it again. Our God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory with anyone or anything. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, we see what he says. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven image. He's serious about it, folks. He will not share his glory with another. So what glory is in your life? What is it that's in your life that you give glory to and praise? I'll even ask, when's the last time you bragged about what God was doing in your life? And they got quiet. It could be because God's not doing anything in your life. Or it could be because maybe you're just ashamed to talk about what God's doing in your life. Because maybe what he's doing in your life right now is convicting us because we've drifted away from him. We've made a decision not to follow him, but to follow the idols of our fathers, the idols that this whole society is putting in front of us day by day. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give. One of the translations says, I will not share with another, neither my praise to graven image. Folks, I'm telling you, without Christ, we have nothing. He is the reason for our next breath. These things, these idols will not satisfy us. Everything in the world will disappear, but God will never disappear. We need to stop compromising because God does not share. If you look back at what Joshua says to him, the people say, look at verse 16. People then answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land, who too will serve the Lord because he is our God. They make a proclamation. Joshua, being the good preacher that he was, refuses to let it go. And look what he says, verse 19. He says, Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive you your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and you serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." He's telling them, you can say that if you want, but I know who you are. I know how you've been behaving. And he's saying, you may agree with your words, but do you really want to do this? Is this really what you want to do? Because you're not able to do this, I don't think. And that's a challenge from the preacher. And so we ask ourselves, we all just ask ourselves, do we have any idols in our life? Who are we going to serve? Every one of us in here agreed we're going to serve God. I want to ask you the same thing he did. Are you really going to do it? Do you think you can? What would it be if you had to give up television forever? Because that's your idol. Wow. Now we're meddling again. What if it was that you had to begin to tithe because money was your idol and you had to start tithing? Would you leave the church? Joshua was trying to make sure that they were real about serving God. He wanted to make sure that they were on fire for God. He didn't want them to step up with some type of lukewarm, I'm going to do it for a while until it gets uncomfortable kind of idea. You see, we've all done that. We've all made those declarations. How many of them have we made in our lives? We're going to follow God. We've been in those services where we've come and laid stuff on the altar. We've done certain things, and we've lived it for a week or two or a month or so. And then it's back to where we were. Wasn't a real change. That's when we make the change. That's what Joshua was saying. He says, you're not able to do it. It's only by the power of God that we can do this. And it's only by trusting God and continued laying your trust and your heart on him and trusting him. You're not going to do this. Left to your own heart, you're going to run away. Oh, you may be able to do it for a week or two. About time for the kids to come in. This is a world in which is going against God in every way and more every day. We shouldn't be surprised. I don't know why we would act surprised that it is. The Bible says it's going to be that way, and it should be that way because the ungodly always will act like the ungodly. But bless God, the godly ought to act like the godly. The Christians ought to act like the Christians. And in the world we live in, it's our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, to raise godly children and to live it and to raise them up in that. It's to make sure that our families and our own hearts are not swayed away with this new wave of everything leads to God, but to focus on who he is and not be focused on the busyness of life or the idols that this world gives us, but to choose this day who we will serve. And draw the line in the sand. I believe we see that happening in our world today. God is jarring everything that there is to rock this world and say, choose this day who you will serve. And he's rattling church doors. He's rattling Christians' hearts and saying, who will you serve? Choose now. Time is short. So we look at the scripture, we look at each other, but we must look in our own hearts and decide right now, who will we serve? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word and grateful for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, we fall on our faces before you, Lord, and our hearts, we just are broken, Lord. We know we've allowed things to creep in our lives that shouldn't be there. We've put things before you, God, and we admit that now before you. Lord, we pray for our hearts to be changed by you and not by us, but only in your power can we defeat this. And we pray now for the Holy Spirit's leading to lead us past and through the idols in our life. And Lord, we pray for those that are here. If there's someone here that has no power because they have no Christ, they've never trusted you as Lord and Savior, pray that their hearts would be understanding of that now, that they would know that they're lost and that if they die, they are going to go into those flames that we talked about. We pray that their hearts would be moved, that they would get it right with you tonight before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we present this invitation to you. Pray that you do with it what you will. Help us to be obedient to what you ask us to do, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Would you stand? We're going